God is good all the time. Well, Brother John is coming tonight to share the word and let God minister through him and flow through him and what he has. So open your heart, Brother John.
Praise God. Praise God. There's somebody say, bring it, brother. All right. Lord help. Lord help. I never drink from these. I'm going to go ahead and break from tradition and drink this. Before we get started, praise God. Leave a dollar. Praise God. Praise God. Let's pray before we get started. Father, we do thank you for the joy that you bring us. For indeed, you are our joy, Father. And our desire is to know you, to draw closer to you, Father, that we would be what you've called us to be, Father, the image, the reflected image of God, of Christ in this earth. Father, hide us in your presence. Hide us in your presence, Lord. Let nothing in this world deviate us from our love for you, from your love for us, from what you provide for us and for what you lead us into. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We are truly blessed to be called your sons. We thank you and we bless you. Amen. Tonight, I am going to talk about trusting God through trouble. I kind of like what Brian actually led into because it kind of ties into what I'm going to talk about or do. And I've actually talked about this subject before, but I got a new light on it. And I like it when trouble tends to hit believers, it can kind of throw us out of whack, right? That's kind of what I want to deal with, because usually when you're going through your day, usually trouble is unexpected, right? It usually comes from out of nowhere unless you've been working on it, you know? If you've been going out and slashing your husband's tires and hiding his lunch, then you probably see some trouble coming because he's going to deal with you at some point, right? But generally, you're out doing your thing and then trouble comes up on your way. And then we're left with how we're going to deal with this trouble. And that's usually a problem for me. Like for me, you can see trouble when I'm watching the Longhorn game and we lose the game, then the rest of my day's messed up. Then Anitra has to start walking on eggshells and dinner with me because now I'm not in the right frame of mind. I don't think we should eat today. We shouldn't be going. You know how we get. You know how we get. We dealing with something. We're going through something. Kids come in the house. What's going on, Mama? What you mean, what's going on? You better get somewhere and sit down. And the kid just blindsided. What's going on with Mother? You know, everybody else has to get quiet in the room because you're dealing with something. And because you're dealing with something, then they need to recognize that you're dealing with something. And how dare you be happy when I'm dealing with something? You need to get into this line that I'm in. You know what I'm saying? And can we try to spread the effects out of that trouble on everybody else? And I don't necessarily think that is godly. But what I want to do is show how a believer can go through that and deal with that. Now remember, trouble is never expected, but it should not be surprising. It's never expected, but it should not be surprising. Let's look what Jesus said in John 16 and 33. I'll try to get through some of these quickly. 16 and 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. What a blessing. He said, but take heart. He said, in this world you will have trouble. This is the master speaking. You can say this is a prophecy or a promise, but he's promising you in this world, you are going to experience trouble. Meaning not on the opposite side, not on God's side, not when we're on that side of eternity, but on this side of eternity, in this experience of life, you can expect to have to deal with trouble. I said trouble is never expected, but it should not be surprising, right? I'll give you an example. When I was little, my mom took me out. She's supposed to be taking me out to go play baseball, right? And she ended up taking me to a football field. Leave that to my mom to be taking me to a football field for me to go play baseball. But anyway, she left me there at the coach. I'll be fine, leave him here. And they started teaching me how to play football, right? And my position was running back, and I think I might have been cornerback and linebacker. But anyway, We got to game. They would go all through the preparation, right? We get the pass. We're tackling. We're blocking. We're learning this stuff. And I remember going out for my first game, peewee football. Man, I was like, yes! Yeah, and I got to return the kickoff. They were kicking the ball off, and I was standing back there. And at that time, the coaches are on the field with you because, you know, you're a little bitty. They're going to guide you through it. So they kicked the ball. I caught the ball. I caught the ball. It's an accomplishment. They kicked it. I caught it. And he's like, go get him, man. That's what they used to call me, man. I said, go get him. And I remember I went to take a step, and a dude from the other team came running out of me and went, bam, hit me right in the face. And once I got up off that ground, I started crying. I was like, ah, what is this? This dude just smashed into me. Now, it's football. And I was completely taken off guard. Even I had prepared, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks before this game. But it shocked me that here I was. And I mean, the coach was looking at, what is going on with you? And I'm like, this is how we, you know, kind of come to God. When trouble comes into my life, we're like, God, what's going on? And God, what are you? I understand you're going through something, but this is not surprising. This is expected, and I've equipped you to deal with this, so I need you to take a different posture. Now, you can kick and scream all the way through it, and you'll go through it, but you could have a different experience if we go through the situation prepared. Does that make sense? Anyway, 1633, let me read you another one just so you know that one wasn't an accident. Y'all remember Peter? 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Let me get to this. I wonder what Peter says. Let me get to my Peter. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, the 10th verse. Just read a couple of these. And the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while. Now I take issue with this. Right? Why does this say, after I have suffered a little while? Why couldn't this say, before you have suffered greatly, right? Or immediately, in the moment, it says, after I have suffered a little while, we'll come and establish you. It sounds like God saying, you know, you might have to deal with something. Before, now, not every time. I'm not saying that God doesn't step in and divert us from things that are gonna happen, or something comes up and God doesn't step in. I'm just saying, don't be surprised if you in something for a little bit of time. As a matter of fact, you being in the little bit of time, in the little bit of whatever you're dealing with, might be part of God dealing with you. I'm not saying God causes trouble to come upon you. Because I hate when that happens. Usually when I'm talking to my friends and maybe they got into a bad relationship with a girl or whatever, and then they come and they talk to me, and I say, man, God put me in that bad relationship. You know what I'm saying? I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait. That was your choice. I said, now God can teach you things out of that, but let's not blame God for that. Listen, James 1:2-8, remember it says this, to consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Again, I take issue. It doesn't say if you happen to face a trial. It says when. So as far as the believer is concerned, we should understand that if we're going through life, there's a pretty good chance that we're going to deal with some type of trouble, some type of adversity may happen to find its way to us. Now, the promise to us, Jesus says, be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. The promise for us is to be brought through the trouble in a victorious way. And we can be excited about that. But the promise is not you will never have to deal with any trouble, right? All you parents know, if you're dealing with kids, at some point in time, you're going to have to deal with the kids. That'd be great if they went from 0 to 18 and there were no problems. You know what? There was a couple of times when I broke my mom's dishes. And she had to deal with me. She did it in love to correct me, but she had to do it. She couldn't run away from her responsibility. And we can't run away from our calling from God to be his light in this earth. where he calls us to be. Now, remember, if you go back to my last message, I said, when you find yourself in trouble, you need one or two things. You can walk through it expecting God to deliver you, or you can run away from it. Now, every time you're in trouble does not mean you need to stay there and deal with bad issues. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you need to make sure that in the trouble, you're finding out what God wants you to do. And God says, hey, get out of that situation. That's not good. Get out of that situation. But if you ask God, God, can I leave? And you don't hear nothing. God, can I leave? This woman is crazy. I'm going to kill somebody. You don't hear nothing. Guess what you need to do? You need to stay, intercede, do all your spiritual principles that you need to affect the situation, because God is doing something in that. So that's what I want to do. What I want to do is use David as a case study so we see this walked out. Remember, when you study the Old Testament, you see how God dealt with different issues. When Brian said, if God did it for them that way, then God would do it for me that way, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we'll use David as a case study. We'll use this example and see how God brought him through trouble, and he'll bring us through trouble in a similar way. So 1 Samuel 22, just the first to second verse to set this up, and you'll see what I'm talking about. I was going to call this the Cave of Adullam, because that's what inspired me to look into this, but I'm just calling it trusting God through the trouble. But we're dealing with the Cave of Adullam. The Cave of Adullam. 1 Samuel, the 22nd chapter, all right? Read verses 1 and 2, and then I'm going to get into it, all right? So 1 Samuel, the 22nd chapter, verses 1 through 2. Watch this. David left Gath and escaped to the Cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there, and those who were in distress or in debt or discontented, gathered around him, and he became their leader. About 400 men were with him. Now I want to deal with this Cave of Adullam. Now let me set this up. Remember what happened. Now remember, the blessing of David was David's out tending sheep. He gets called to come in from tending the sheep. He's the last son to get called in from. He's out there tending sheep, and then he gets anointed and prophesied to and told he was going to be king, or he, at that point, he was king of Israel. Whoa, he's going from sheep tending person to king. Great blessing. And then, in the middle of all that, God leads Saul. Saul gets tormented by demons. They say, hey man, you need to find somebody that can play some music, worship music. And they said, this dude said, I know somebody, son of Jesse, he can play real good. Saul said, send him to me. All of a sudden, David's in the palace, playing for the king. He's prophesied he's going to be king, or he is king. Now he's in the palace with the old king, former king. Great blessing, right? Now, he did have a little trouble because when the demon would come on Saul, Saul would try to kill him. And you know, he dodged it, whatever. But you know, we can explain that. You know, he's not in his right mind, but he's still in a good place, right? Then we get to the point where now he's getting ready to be promoted. So they get in the fight. They're in the fight with the Philistines. The Philistines have a champion called Goliath. I think the last speaker just dealt with that. And they are scared of Goliath because Goliath is a big old giant, which didn't have to be that big to be a giant back then, because the average height of the Jews was about 5 foot something. So we know anything 6 foot and over, Demetrius was probably a giant to the Jewish people. You know, that's what I'm saying. But he's big. They describe his armor, his weapons, huge. And people are scared. David's not scared. David goes out there and says, hey, man, what's going on? This dude out there said, hey, man, somebody got to go fight that dude. Nobody wants to go fight that dude. Saul said, you fight that dude, your family not going to have to pay taxes, which I would have had to consider it then. You know, your family don't have to pay taxes, get married to king's president, you're going to get all this stuff. They're like, what? He's like, hey, man, what this dude saying is true? Dude said, yeah, dude, true. David's brother saying, said, dude, quit causing problems. Get out of here. They like, hey, man, I can talk to people. So he tight talk to people. Saul gets word. David comes, talk to Saul. Say, hey, man, I'll go take care of him for you. Saul's like, all right, you go do that. You go do that. David goes out there. Nobody's expecting anything. David kills a giant. Promotion's coming. Woo! David kills the giant. And people's like, who is that? Right? And Saul says, oh, yeah, come on in, dude. We're going to start putting you out, sending you out to war. David goes out, starts fighting Saul, starts killing Philistines. People get wind of this, then they come back to the city, and the people start taking up a song. Saul has killed his thousands. David killed his 10,000. Saul said, what you say? He's like, I'm the king. Oh, so from that moment on, Saul kept his eye on David because he saw that David was going places. Oh, man, I got to deal with this, right? So he keeps sending David out. David keeps winning. He starts putting David up in the army. So he's getting promoted. He's getting blessed. He's getting positioned. He's getting prestige. Saul's like, I got to do something about this. I know I'm going to marry this dude off to my daughter. I'm going to make him a son-in-law. And I won't feel threatened. David marries into the family. Didn't want to get married into the family because he respected the family so much. But finally, Saul says, look, go out and kill. Give me 100 foreskins of the Philistines. You can marry my daughter. He says, I'll do that. Goes out, kills 200 Philistines, gives the foreskins to Saul. Saul said, all right, marry my daughter. And now he's in the family. No threat. Saul gets even angrier. He's in trouble. David goes to Jonathan, hey, dude, your dad's trying to kill me. Jonathan, my dad ain't trying to kill you. That's crazy talk. He's like, man, what this dude's trying to kill me? He said, I'll tell you what we'll do. I'm going to go talk to my dad. You go out here, you hide in the woods. If I come out here, I shoot the arrow, and I say, hey, the arrow is beyond you. You need to run. But if I don't say that, then everything's good. He said, I'm going to find out what's going on. I said, all right. This is the second time they've done this because they actually tested Saul before to find out if Saul's trying to kill David. Anyway, y'all know the story. He finds out that Saul wants to kill David. Saul even said, dude, what's wrong with you? Don't you know that your kingdom is not safe as long as this dude is living? Jonathan says, uh-oh, we got to deal with this because him and Jonathan had a covenant. So he goes out, tell him, and at this point, David is on the run. Now, remember what I said before, can't leave unless God tells you can leave. Go back and read that story. When Jonathan tells him that story, he says, God has commanded you to leave. So God removed him from that situation. So David takes off. David goes by the priest. Said, hey, man. He said, hey, dude, what you doing here? Where are your men at? He's like, oh, I'm on a secret mission. They going to meet me somewhere. You got any bread? I need something. He gets prepared. So I say, yeah, dude, it's cool, man. I'll get you some bread. He said, you got any weapons? Now, I would have asked questions right then if I was that priest. She looking, but how come you ain't got your own weapons? He said, no. I just need a weapon. Got Goliath's weapon here. He said, good, I'll take that. That's a good weapon. Grabs a weapon, grabs the bread. He takes off. Now, watch this. Saul finds out David's at this because one of Saul's men was at the priest's place. When this happened, he goes back and tells Saul, I saw David. He was right up there with the priest, man. The priest gave him bread, gave him sword. Saul says, what? You bring that priest here and all the priests that are in that area and their family. Saul asked, what's going on, man? How come you know we got stuff going on? The priest said, yo, dude, I pray for David all the time. Y'all know what that is. That's black for I ain't did nothing I ain't always ever did. What you mad about? That's what he was saying. I always do this. What's the problem? He says, man, you know, and he's like, look, dude, I ain't got nothing to do with what y'all got going on. He says, all right, you did. You know what you did. He's the enemy of me. You side with my enemy. You going to die. All your priest friends going to die and the family. Right there, I was like, dude, this is gangster. I was like, this is the first time you see, he said, not only are you going to die, but your family going to die. I'm like, my goodness. And he says, kill this dude. And everybody, people like, look, dude, these are servants of God. We can't kill these people. So Doeg, which was the dude that's at the place, Saul looked at him and said, hey, you kill him. Doeg kills everybody. Not only that, he goes back and he kills everybody that was in that city. Doeg is about it. David gets wind of this. And so now we get to 1 Samuel 22. because David's around this spot, and David takes, I got to leave this area. First place he goes to is Gath. Where is Gath? That was Goliath's hometown. Now, you got to be scared to go to the place where you killed their champion. This is why I read that and says David's acting like a madman. Because like, ain't this David? So he's hiding out, and then he leaves there, and he ends up here in the cave. He left Gath, escaped to the cave of Adullam, and that's when his brothers and his fathers and them heard about it. Now, here's the interesting thing about this. This cave is David's place of refuge. Notice in the story, it doesn't say that David went to a cave, because in Palestine, throughout Egypt, there are a number of caves. If you go back to that spot, and there's like a park there now, they'll take you through different caves in Adullam. But it doesn't say a cave. It says that David went to the cave of Adullam. Now, it is very possible that this cave became famous because this is the cave where David used. Here's the thing I see in this, that this is David's appointed place of refuge. In the middle of his trouble, in the middle of his calamity, where he's got to run, he's got to leave everything, God has a spot for him to land in for protection and safety in the middle of his trouble. These are the things that we forget when trouble comes to us. Because when we're in trouble, we're like, oh my God, here it is. What's going on? I'm by myself. That's why we be fighting everybody. Because if you smiling and I'm not smiling, we're not in this together. Right? I'm just talking about myself. Maybe y'all deal with it different, but we don't look at this, but in his trouble, there is a spot of safety and refuge. When we're in trouble, I guarantee you that somewhere in there, you will have a place of safety and refuge. God has not abandoned you. Now, again, it wasn't expected when it comes to you. It's out of the blue, and I know that'll shock you. But at that point, that's when we start looking around, okay, God, where is my safe place that's going to allow me to stand up under whatever this is I'm dealing with, if your God hasn't forsaken you? And you know that that's not what our God does. Our God is not the God that forsakes you. He says he will never leave or forsake you. So this is the appointed place by me. That's what I'm saying, because it's the cave and not a cave. So there is a spot for you to be safe. And that's what refuge means. It means to a safe place from danger or trouble. Now, Psalms 46, let's read this. And look what David said. You'll see what I'm saying. Psalms 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Wouldn't it be interesting if this poem right here, this psalm, was written or earmarked in David's soul from this experience that he had dealing with Saul? He's experiences God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Let me give you another one. Obviously, these are all throughout Saul, so because we got to get out of here, I didn't get all of them, but I just gave you a couple. Psalms 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Remember what that stronghold is? That's that fortified place in the middle of the city. It's a place that can be defended. Verse 5, for in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle. When I'm in trouble, when I'm experiencing calamity or adversity, I can be guaranteed that he will hide me in his place. I can guarantee that. I can guarantee that. This is important. This is important because I don't want to faint in my day of trouble. But God, you got to give me something to look past this, you know, so I can see it coming. Like if I got a big bill coming, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Robinson, Mr. and Mrs. Chamber, we want you to pay this bill. You don't pay this bill, we're going to put you out of the house on November 5th. But you're not worried because you know on November 4th, check is coming. See, then you can look past the issue that's hanging above you because you see the answer is going to be provided. Well, you know what? You might have to do that when you don't see check coming because now you got to look with eyes of faith into the promise of God. I never leave you, forsake you. I provide for all your needs according to the living standard of heaven. You know what? Provision's coming. What if it's the same situation? I have the same need that needs to be provided, and I don't have a check date. I just got a rich uncle. He says, look, I'm sending you money. Uncle, when you sending it? I'm not sure. But you can be guaranteed it's going to be there when you need it. Am I worried still? I might be a little anxious. Unc, you need to give me a date. But I'm not worried. I'm not worried because Unc is trustworthy. So I can tell whoever the bill payer is, look, money's coming. It's coming. It'll be there. Don't worry. And I can go through that with a little more peace. Now, here's some of the problem. Sometimes we think in order to be at peace, trouble needs to be absent. But that's not the case for the believers. Because our God has given us his peace and he gives us his promises, it allows us to experience peace in the presence of trouble. But we got to get to that place. And I'm not accusing or blaming anybody. I understand when something is in your face, that is what you see. And that is screaming at you loud. What I'm trying to do is to admonish you, okay, we have to get past that. Because if I'm just looking at the trouble or the calamity or whatever it is that's staring me in the face, it's going to put me in a place of being frozen or being in terror or in fear or worried, and all these other emotions are coming in and I might miss something. Remember the story that Leticia just shared? They passed over her for a couple of jobs. She ready to shout somebody down. Right? It's my right. I can do this. But how does she know that God's like, no, that ain't it. It's something else coming. Right? It's something else coming. Hold your composure. Hold your composure. And he leaves the door open for when the better thing comes along. God's able to move. But we don't know what's going on. All we know is this is staring at me, it's in front of me, and it's bothering me. Well, that's when I got to do what Brian's encouraged us. That's when you got to trust God. God, I don't know what's going on. Like I said, I feel like killing these people. I won't do that. I know that's not what you want, but we need to come up with another solution. But I know you got it. So now I need that, you know, we start beseeching God for the thing that he gave us, which is peace and understanding. Anyway, I need to move past that. But again, I don't need the absence of trouble to experience God's peace. And in God's peace, I can function as my best self. That's what God's looking for. I need you to function as your best self so that the people around you can see me in that. Does that make sense? All right, my next point is safety in a strange place. Safety in a strange place. This is actually what I was going to talk about. You don't need the absence of trouble to feel the peace of God. But because of the trouble, now, again, this is amazing to me how God works this out. All right. David runs to the cave of Adullam, goes to Gath, goes to the cave of Adullam, hides there. Do you know where the cave of Adullam is? The cave of Adullam is on the borders of Philistine territory. Who was Saul fighting with? The Philistines. That was the enemy. So David is hiding in enemy ground. Watch what God's doing. Do you know what that does to Saul? Saul chased David from the place with the priest. Remember? Now, he left before Saul got there, but he went after him. And he went after him to his next spot. You know what happened when he got into Philistine territory? Saul had to stop. Because Saul was not about to go into enemy territory to get David. Because he would have had to fight the enemy to get to David. This is a place of safety and refuge in the enemy land. In the enemy land. See, so I want to get y'all hyped and excited. Remember what God tells Jesus? He says, sit here until I make your enemies your footstool. What is a footstool? It's something that you can lay your feet on. Oh, I got one better. I got one better for you. A footstool is a tool to serve you at your convenience. God used the enemy to serve as David's protection. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say you might be in a bad place and bad things are happening to you and people are trying to take you down, but you ain't got to be worried because God can use them to serve your purposes. That's not what they trying to do. They just can't help themselves. Because your God causes all things to work together for your good because you love God. See, we forget that. I know I do. I'm in a bad place. I'm in a bad situation. It's all weighing down on me. God's trying to remind me, John, I got you. I got you. Remember this? That was Psalms 110. Psalms 23:5. Remember this? God says, I'm going to prepare a table for you. Where? See, we're trying to get the enemy out. God, this woman is driving me crazy. Remove her. God got her right there. God, this woman driving me crazy. Remove her. God just keeping her right there. See, because we think in order for me to be at peace, this adjutant has to be removed from my life. God's like, no. You're able to access my peace even with that adjutant right there. I'm trying to get you to launch into that supernatural part of you. Because this is when we get to see the working of our God. Let me give you an example of a time when I was really going through a hard time. It was at camp, and we had a group of kids. And this was the worst group of kids I ever had. I mean, terrible. We had this one dude, and he came in, and he had a girlfriend, and he didn't understand why he couldn't go sleep with his girlfriend. Like, dude, chill, we don't do that. The girls got separated. And we go out the next day, and we had a different class they go to. I get called up, John, we need you up here. I'm like, what's going on? This dude done went to the class with the girls. Now, girls and guys have separate classes at our camp. There's a girl swimming class, and there's a guy swimming class. For a reason. She's in her swim class, and this dude is at the swimming pool, and they can't get him out. I had to go and get this dude. He's like, man, you ain't getting me to do nothing. I will beat you. Blibbidi-bibbidi-num. Like, oh, Jesus. Because for me, because we had big dudes at our camp, they would deal with these kids, you know? And, you know, big dude, the kid, tell you something, probably going to do it. Or just struggle a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Just struggle a little bit. I give you a little insight so y'all know this, but don't tell anybody. Delete this from the video. Had one of our dudes, this is a dude that he used to teach me. He's like, John, man, you got to deal with these kids. I was like, what? So this dude, he was cutting this dude's hair, man. And the dude's like, hey, man, you do blood. And they say, hey, bitch, you need to calm down. Man, I'm a dude, but I'll whip your blood, blood, dude, put the clippers down, grab a dude by the neck, put him up in the air, slammed him on the ground, start slamming him. And they say, now you need to get yourself together. You need to get yourself together. The devil is trying to do, the devil's trying to kill you. I'm not going to do it because I'm saved, but the devil's trying to kill you. This is my friend. I couldn't do that. That dude's 6'6", got muscles out there. I said, I can't do this. If I get into it with this kid, I'm going to have to kill this kid. You know? He's going to try me. This is what he was pushing me to. And every day I was in that kind of situation with that kid, and it was other kids, and I just remember, like, my God, Lord, you got to do something. And I couldn't get out of that situation. I had these kids for 8 days. I had to love these kids. I did not want to love these kids. I'm talking, you know it's bad when you discipline them and they take you there and say, all right, dude, you just got to miss a meal. I'll miss a meal. I ain't worth it. Like, you can miss a meal. I don't want to miss a meal. Because everything they did, we had to do. So I ain't trying to miss no meal. He didn't care. I had to miss a meal with this kid for 2 straight days. That's how stubborn he was. 2 straight days. I got to the end of this thing, man, and I mean, I had to do. He said, "Hey, John, how you doing?" And I was at House of the Lord at that time, so you know, Pastor Jim, man, I'm the blessed of the Lord. Jesus, I ain't feel like the blessed of the Lord. I said, man, I'm blessed of the Lord, God. And he said, "Man, every time I ask you that, you wipe your face." Like, but I had to psych myself up to say this word. I said, "Man, blessed of the Lord, I want to kill this kid." Yeah. And I went through that situation, did not get better. I mean, it was bad. It was very bad. And we got to the point where they left, right? And I'm just beat down. I am broken. And the next group of kids we got in there was the best group of kids I ever had. We won every contest. They listened to everything I said. They tried to save me food. When I mean, I was like, oh, can y'all just come back every week? But in order to get to that group, I had to deal with this group. Now, I think that group was a break. I really didn't have to be there for that group. But God's like, nah, I need you in the mix for this group. I need you in just for a little bit, John. In the middle of me dealing with that kid, it was one point, just one point. Well, he was in our treetops where everybody gets scared. And he looked down from the tree and says, hey, man, what was that stuff you were saying about Jesus? Tell me some of that now. Just that one moment. After that, he went back to acting like a devil. But I had that one moment to drop a little word into his heart about how God loved him. I had no idea what happened to that dude after that. But I had to stay in it for that group. That was my group. It was other groups there. And man, if I tell y'all the stuff that they did, it would be amazing. But I had to stay in there, trust God, even though I had no idea why I had this hellacious group, so that God can do whatever he's doing. But God says, I will prepare a table for you even in the presence of your enemies. Why? So that you can bear up under whatever it is you're dealing with. I can promise you this, and this is from my experience. I don't care what you're going through. It might not end, because remember he said, after you suffered a little while, but in the middle of you suffering, God will throw you some oasis. There's going to be something in the course of your time that God is going to be able to use to give you some encouragement, to give you some peace, so that you can bear up under it. I don't know. It may be Sister Lou sending you a card that encourages you at the right moment. You know what? I needed that. Maybe your spouse taking you out to eat. You know what? Let's get away from the kids. Let's go do something just for you. I have no idea what it would be, but I know your Father looking out for you will make sure you're taken care of because he wants you to bear up under it. So he will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Let me get to the last one. God can move in your time of discomfort. Now, here's the reason why I'm saying this, because we usually deal with absolutes. If I'm going to be at peace, then trouble has to be removed, right? And I said, no, that doesn't have to be the case. And we usually think when God moves in our life, then he aligns everything up, right? He's setting all these steps, opens up the door, boom, we walk through the movement of God. Ta-da! Makes sense. Don't you know, God can move in your discomfort. We think, all right, we got, if I'm not feeling good, then that's it. Nothing good's coming. Nothing's going to happen. But I'm going to tell you that in the middle of your discomfort, God's transformation power can touch your life. Why do I say this? Look at what happened with David. David, who was anointed to be king, in a place of blessing, got chased away from not only the city of the king and the city of his people, he's left his family. Now, I've already laid through the thing, walked through the things, and you saw what happened. But behind all that, what you see is David being moved from a place where he was comfortable to a place where he was not. Now, I could have dismissed that. It said that seems to be our God's MO. Let me take you back to Abraham. Where was Abram? Abram was in his place. And God said, get up, move away from your people, and go to a place that I will show you. A strange place. A place where they owned nothing. They owned nothing. He said, you go there. And he went from there, being Abram, to a strange land to become Abraham. God would transform him into a mighty man. Let me give you another one, because you think I'm making this up. Remember Joseph? He was the favored son. He was in a good place. He was being comfortable even when his brothers hated him. You know that person. Joseph was sold into slavery. God gave him the dream, the vision. Oh, man, I'm going to be lifted up. Y'all going to bow down. And in that, he's the furthest away from that you can go. He's a slave, a servant in a strange land. God, that's it for him, right? God can't do nothing there. And God uses that situation to raise him up to where Pharaoh said, man, he only second to me. Basically, he said, he's Pharaoh light. I'm Pharaoh, he Pharaoh light. And God used that situation to save the Israelites from a coming famine that they knew nothing about, would have wiped them out. Put him in place, raised him up in a strange place. John, why are you saying that? I'm saying this because just because you're in a place of discomfort, because that's what trouble does for us, right? We're not at peace. We're not at rest. We're losing a little bit of sleep. We're uncomfortable. And we think, well, God's not moving in that until he gets me past this. Again, he removes the obstacle, removes me to another place. God's not doing nothing. But what you're missing is your God can transform you in that place of discomfort. That's why I gave you the warning. Don't you run because you're in trouble. Because you might be running from your place of promotion. That's why you got to hear from God. What do you want me to do? God says, stay there, to eat a hot dog. Something good's going to happen. I just need to bite my tongue. Stand up on this, because on the end of this, I might be second to the king. Don't know what God's doing, but I guarantee you, God is doing something. Guarantee you. You just got to hold on. Just hold on. Remember when I was in college, I'd gotten saved, and the person offered me a job. It was a Wild U program, what we called it. We brought kids from Houston to the University of Texas, and they stayed in campuses. We were their resident counselors, whatever, work with the kids. Some of y'all remember this, Sister Lou might remember this. I used to bring a lot of those kids to church. You know, I'd bring them to church with me, blah, 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 blah. I ain't tell y'all, some of them came to kids with me because we had another dude that would take kids to church, and he'd take them out to eat when he left church. So they thought I was going to do that. But I was like, nah. Nah, you got put on the word. We going back to the campus. But they got the word, but that's another term. Anyway, I got in trouble for that. I got in trouble. The boss came in because the people that were staying on campus, the kids who were unruly, and like, man, it's not fair. They getting a break. And so the dude came in and said, hey, man, you can't be going to church and blah, 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 blah. I was going to quit. I was like, man, shoot. I took the job. I told you I had to go to church. So, you know. So anyway, God worked it out. Dude still allowed me to go to church and, you know, deal with the kids. And I love my kids and raised them up, did a good job. With. Next year, though, he got smart. He said, John. I said, what's up, man? He said, look, we're going to let you come back and work here, but I want you to sign this thing and say you won't go to church while you. I'm like, oh, yeah. I was like, what's going on? Because I just knew this was God using me to work in these kids' lives. I was like, dude, I can't do that. He said, you can't do that. I can't let you work here. I was like, man. And I'm going to show you how slick this was because I knew the dude that was his number two, I knew him. And he's like, dude, John, if you would have just took the job, I'd have let you do whatever you wanted to do. I'd have been going against, right? And you know our pastor, that is not the deal. You have to honor your word. So I had that, and I was like, okay, God, I don't even know what's going on. What's going on? Missed out on that, man. I'm crying and boohooing. I'm like, I'm going through it. Missed that. Plus, I missed out on the money. I'm broke. Very next year, getting toward the end of the year, a friend of ours, her name was Diana Delaney. You may remember. She said, John, would you come with me? I'm going to go interview. Now, me and Diana weren't really that close. Knew Diana, but we didn't hang out. But she's like, John, she grabbed me out of the blue. She said, John, I'm going to go interview for this thing. I want you to come with me, you know, just to encourage me. I was like, first of all, why you want me to go with you? But, I'm nice. You know, I'm cool with all the people. So, you know, all right, I'll go, you know. And she went to go interview for Kids Across America, which is the camp that I worked at. Now, because she was there interviewing, the interviewer interviewed me. I was like, I ain't here to interview. You might as well sit down and do the interview. So I did the interview, didn't think about nothing, got offered the job, didn't even know what the job was. And here I go off to this camp, and it's a Christian camp to minister to you. Now I have uninhibited access to minister the love of God that I never would have took had I been working. But at the time, I couldn't see that. All I saw was, oh, I'm under it. I'm being persecuted because I'm a Christian. No, man, I'm telling you something. God is working things out for us even when we don't understand. We got to trust him. Again, and I'm not saying that you need to accept the trouble. I'm just saying when it comes, again, it's unexpected. You say, okay, it's here. All right, we're going to deal with this. Now let me start working. And you know what you need to do if you're in this place. You need to speak the word. What does God say about this situation? I'm going to continue to do that. Beseech to God for the peace that he has given you so you can be peaceful in your troubling situation. Call out to God as your refuge so you can find your resting places in this hard time because God wants you to bear up under it and come through it so that he can do whatever it is he's working out and he's doing. Say, John, why do you say this? Because you know the scripture where he says, you know what? I want patience to have its perfect work. You know what I mean? It means he wants that to come to its full maturity. That's God saying, don't cut that process off. I don't need you half-baked. You said, but God, it's so hard. It's so hard. Man, I know it's hard. But you know what? I know you, and you can deal with it. How do we know that? There is no temptation that is common to man. Or uncommon. Right. God would not provide not only the way out, and what's the last part of that tag? So that you can bear up under it. If that was something that could take you out, God would have never let you go through it. When trouble comes to you, it does not come to break you. It can only build you up. So if it is something that is in your life, again, not saying that you accept it, I'm saying you understand, you know what, this can't take me out. You wouldn't be here if you could take me out. So that means that we're going to go through it. Either some rough edges going to get rubbed off on you or some development's going to happen because God has a place of promotion that he's bringing you to. He's like, all right, we're going to work through this so she can learn this or he can learn that so that when I bring that promotion, they're going to handle that with ease. Not going to let you go to your place of promotion and be unprepared. You're going to be prepared. However, we can't faint. Can't faint. Again, disclaimer, I'm not saying everything you deal with, you need to deal with. I'm saying seek the Lord. You seek the Lord, the Lord said, hey, man, get out of that. Hey, you abandoned that. You gone. David ran. He didn't stay there to get shivved by Saul. He got out of Dodge. God moved him on, but he took him to a place where then he was able to grow and develop. He didn't remove Saul immediately. That adjutant stayed there for a period of time while David amassed his followers. That was the last part that I bring up. In that cave, in that hiding place, David went from being a fugitive to a commander. It said that his family went to him. Men that owed people money went to him. People that were discontent with the leadership went to him. And in that group is where you get David's mighty men. That was the men where David said, I really would like some water from the well of Jerusalem. And he had a group of men break out, fight through the enemy, get him some water, come back through the enemy without wasting the water. He had some people. Dave didn't even drink the water. He said, man, I don't want y'all to do that again. I'm pouring that out. But he's like, man, we got something. That was just some of the exploits that his mighty, but it was at that place when he was hiding. And God said, now you're a commander. You're on your way to be king. But that was in the trouble. That happened in the trouble. You can say, man, I want to be this amazing whatever, this amazing mother, this amazing teacher. You ask Miss Willie what it takes to be an amazing teacher, she'll tell you. But God's going to bring you through something so that you can be a person of character. I'm just saying, don't let the trouble take you down. I understand the emotions. I'm not immune from emotions. Talk to my wife, she'll tell you. I'm not always my best self. I'm just saying, all right, recognize that. Okay, you got me. Now let me push past that, because in the middle of this, I know that God is my refuge. He's provided a place of safety for me. I'm going to be my best person. So people are going to see God in this. And then you watch what God does. All right? You watch what God does. Praise God. It's the end. I'm going to turn it over to Brian. You guys are blessed. God is doing amazing things for us this year. So stand up under it. Amen.
Thank you, Brother John. Stand with me. The offering buckets are up here for you to be a blessing to Brother John. You are the blessed of the Lord. You come short in nothing pertaining to God's will, plan, and purpose for your life. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. God keeps you. He protects you. He gives you the victory in every situation and every circumstance and causes you to win and overcome, so that his kingdom, will, plan, and purpose can shine in the earth through you. Go and allow God to flow through you and use you here in the earth and be a light that shines in the darkness. Praise God. You are blessed. Go with God.